I spent time at the Missionaries of Charity House. Now, am I turned on now? I spent time in the Missionaries of Charity House in Kingston, Jamaica, about 30 years ago with 24 college students, and we're on a three-week mission trip there. Some of you may have already heard me talk about this place before. It's funny. In the course of a life, what a few days here or there may do. The Missionaries of Charity is the Roman Catholic Order of Nuns that was founded by Mother Teresa. Their job is to take care of the least of the least. Their job is to see the face of Jesus and the old man dying of cirrhosis from decades of drinking, who no one in his family can tolerate anymore. Their job is to show God how much they love him by taking care of those who slipped through the cracks or been pushed through the cracks, who have no one and nothing. That's the job that they do that we all talk about and marvel at. The sisters would probably tell you that their job mostly is to pray. We volunteered at the Kingston House while we were there, and we did whatever the sisters told us to do, basically. We swept and mopped floors, we put clean sheets on the beds, we helped prepare meals and serve them and clean up after, things like that. Whatever the sisters told us to do, that is what we did. They were amazing. It was a community of 30 nuns, I think, from all over the globe, brown and black and white. They were young, they were old. They were from Europe and South America and North America and Asia. It was a little community of the kingdom, already gathered, in place, as a sign of what God is up to in this world and will accomplish. It's such an amazing place, it's hard to describe. There was so much brokenness and pain, so much suffering, so much that showed that the world is not the way that God intends for it to be. But all of that brokenness was side by side with the radiant grace of Jesus shining through clearly and transforming everything. It was just stunning, literally. It took your breath away. I could see how you could give up everything, everything, to go live like that. But I also knew that we'd be leaving in a couple of weeks, which made it easier to think about giving up everything to live like that. These women, on the other hand, weren't going anywhere. This was just their normal life in this world. Several times in the course of the day, the sisters would finish whatever it is they were doing and wash their hands and their face and straighten their habits and line up and walk up the stairs to the second floor chapel to pray together. The first time I figured out what was going on and where they were going, I just, fell in line behind them. And as I was getting ready to follow them into the chapel, Mother Abbess of that house, a woman named Sister Ayudhya, stepped in front of me at the entrance into the chapel and said, "You can't come in here." I said, "Mother, I just want to pray with you." She said, "It's not permitted," and closed the door. Later in the day, Sister Ayudhya found me and she said, "You have to understand, only the community of sisters prays the hours of the office each day together. That is the rule of our order." The last day we were there, Sister Ayudhya told me that she had talked to the community and that they were willing for me to come in for afternoon prayers, but that I needed to sit at the back of the chapel and that I could not speak. And then she said, we can talk about this later, before you leave if you want to. So I did go to pray with them that afternoon, but I felt fairly guilty. I hadn't meant to, but had I sort of bullied my way into the chapel? The sisters sang the psalms and the canticles of their prayers like joyful birds, while I at the back, not talking, stewed in my own presumptuousness, wondering, how can I ever be like them, Lord? That evening, we were all standing around in the foyer of the entrance saying our goodbyes because we were flying off for home the next day. There were so many tears among us. It is hard to leave a place where it's normal to see that, well, actually, it really is Jesus in the kitchen washing the pans. And that it really is Jesus you see in the face of someone asleep on a cot. It really is Jesus standing beside a sister singing. It really is him, unmistakably him. Everywhere you look. Even after just a short while there, you found yourself expecting to see him. Is this what a life of prayer like theirs is like? Sister Ayodhya came up to me as we were getting everything together to leave, and she took me aside and she said, thank you for coming. You are such a blessing. You were such a blessing for us this week. You were such an encouragement for us. And then she said, my dear, you have to find your own way to talk to God, to pray. You can't use ours. Do you understand? And then she took my face in her hands and leaned me down and touched her forehead to my forehead the way that Mother Teresa had taught them when they are greeting or bidding one another farewell. And when she did that, I saw that something like a door I had been knocking on opened. Teach us to pray, the disciples say to Jesus. The reason we are given for their request is they say that John the Baptist did the same for his followers. What about us? Teach us to pray the way you do. And the words of the prayer he gave them that day were reworked a little later into a proper prayer by Matthew, which is what Matthew often did. He fixed up what people had done before and make it, you know, nicer, more liturgical. But Luke's version isn't a finished piece like Matthew's. It's more like a set of headings or a series of doors to knock on. Here's one. Let your name be made holy by everything in its own way, from the farthest flung galaxies spinning out shimmering light into the endless dark ferocious vacuum of space. To the bird that greeted you this morning, a new morning with a miracle of song like the first day, morning has broken. To the tiniest bits of matter holding the whole creation together. To your own heart's breathless words, God, are you even there? Ask, seek, knock. Feed us today with what we need today, trusting your goodness to do that. But God, can I trust you with that? What is it you're asking of me? Ask. Forgive the sins of which I am afraid, and I will not talk with you about them. Ask. Save us from being tempted by the beguiling evil of this world, where we are lost before we even know it. Seek. The goodness of God we need, God will give. Pray. We Episcopalians are justifiably proud of the elegance and depth of the prayers we have in the prayer book. They give us words to speak truth when we are tongue-tied and can't find the right words on our own and don't even know where to begin, really. But the faithful lives these proper prayers bear witness to are no substitute for seeking our own. Of this, Barbara Brown Taylor said briskly that if we want to give up secondhand religion, we will need to shoot for our own living experience of faith, and not someone else's. Pray for yourself. If we want something better than secondhand religion, something that holds suffering side by side with the transforming grace of Jesus, then we pray as he did, as he teaches us. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Now, none of that is ever going to make any of us a finished, polished piece. But it may give us life to expect to see Jesus almost everywhere and follow him. Amen.